This is the Tuesday, December 21st edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for tonight, so settle in and we'll set you up in a little more than 10 minutes with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Tyler Foljam and Aaron Dolan with you, fresh off of a duo of football games on Monday night. We get a treat, two more Tuesday night football games. They'll be taking place simultaneously, on opposite coasts. In Philadelphia, you have the Washington football team visiting the Eagles, laying 6.5. And in L.A., you have the Seahawks visiting the Rams, favored by 7. Let's start in your neck of the woods there, Aaron. The Eagles, again, laying 6.5. A low total of 41.5 at the Washington football team coming into town. Before we get to props, first, any game script you'd like to develop for side and total?
Yes. So I'm looking at the total for this game, and all morning I've been trying so hard to make the case for an over because I just want to see points in a game like this. But unfortunately, I think we're going to see under 41.5 for this. I think that the Eagles can exploit Washington football's defense, which ranks 28th overall, 27th against the pass. I think that's where they're going to have to exploit them. So you might see big games for Devonta Smith, Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins. But just in general, I can see the Eagles put up points like 24-27. I just don't know what's going to happen with this Washington football team. So for that reason, I'm definitely going to go under. And also some trends that support that. The under is 7-1 in the Washington football team's last 8 games overall and 8 games as an underdog. And the under is also 13-3 in the Eagles' last 16 home games versus the team, the losing record. So although I'm trying to find a way to make this an over game, I just keep screaming under. In the last 4 under games that I've taken, I've gone over. So maybe things will change when I choose this under, but that's how I'm playing this game.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. It was 42.5. It's down to 41.5. And I'm either an under or a pass. I do think there are paths to the over, but that's kind of like the upper 5%, upper 3% performance for especially the Washington football team, like you were pointing out. When you look at the Eagles, they want to run the football. They do it as much or more than any team in the NFL. And that, of course, suppresses play volume, that speeds up the clock. And those are both bad things as far as maximizing your probability of scoring points. There is a few weapons on the Washington football team offense. Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, if he is playing, but McLaurin's coming off a concussion. The Washington football team, I imagine, is going to concern, or the Philadelphia defense, pardon me, I imagine is going to concern themselves way more with Gibson than any other weapon on that Washington football team offense. Taylor Heineke's kind of regressed a little bit, and he seems to be banged up. So, like you, I'm just not sure how many points the Washington offense will contribute to this game. The way I kind of see it playing out, the number's a little too big, the spread, but I just think 20 to 24 points is really all that will be required to win this game. So if you get a 24-17 type of game, or, you know, a 23-16 type of game, that's going to be one that I think is most probable in terms of final score, and that would fit the bill for an under there at 41.5. Now to the West Coast, Rams and Seahawks. Oh, I tell you what, before we get to that game, let's get to the prop market, because there is at least a prop I want to play in this game. I'll let you kick it off, Aaron, before I get ahead of myself. In that Washington-Philadelphia game, are there any props that you think stand out as strong plays?
Yes, I'm looking at Devonta Smith over 47.5 receiving yards. Now, heading into week 15, the Eagles ranked number one overall in rushing yards per game. So a lot of people are going to be looking at the running backs, but the Washington football defense ranks 5th in opponents' rushing yards per game. And they're getting some pieces back on defense, given that this game was pushed back. So I think that Jalen Hurts is going to have to put it in the hands of the wide receivers to really get it done. Plus, the Washington football defense ranks 27th against the pass. Now, with Smith, he's averaging 50 receiving yards per game. He's failed to come close to 47.5 in the last 2 games, but he has hit over this number in 7 of 13 games he's played in. I just think this is an area that they could potentially exploit and win this game by getting it, again, in the hands of the Eagles wide receivers. You could also take a look at Quez Watkins, his receiving yards props at 26.5. He's hit this in 8 games, 8 of the 13 games that he's played in. And he also had 60 receiving yards against the Jets. So those two I would definitely take a look at.
Yeah, I'm on a Philadelphia player prop as well. That's Jalen Hurts over 44 and a half rushing yards. I believe he's cleared this in every game this season but one. You're usually going to see a floor of 9 to 10 carries from Jalen Hurts, which, you know, can be any combination of design runs and then plays he just creates when he drops back and doesn't see something he likes from the coverage. But by and large, you know, Jalen is going to run the football 10, 11, 12 times, and 44 and a half has been a threshold that he's cleared pretty easily. You mentioned how some of those defensive linemen are back for the Washington football team. Jonathan Allen off the COVID list, Montez Sweat back as well. So those are guys who can put pressure on the quarterbacks, force Hurts out of the pocket and make him use his legs to create. They could also make the running game far less efficient for the likes of Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, Kenneth Gainwell, every single running back that's available for Philadelphia and that dreaded running back by committee. But just think that line's a little bit too low on the player prop for Hurts rushing yards, considering he's cleared that threshold in all but one game so far this season. All right, I was getting ahead of myself, but let's go to the West Coast now. My Rams taking on the Seahawks, coming off that big win against Arizona. This game pushed from Sunday to Tuesday as well. Rams laying 7. Total, that's moving up pretty dramatically. 45.5 yesterday. It's now 47 today. I wouldn't be surprised to see that keep moving. Again, we'll get to props in a second, but side or total that tickles your fancy, Aaron?
So I'm actually going to go with the Rams first half spread -3.5 because I just want to get in, get out on this game because there's a part of me that thinks the Seahawks could potentially be able to cover, but the Rams are better against the spread in the first half, 7-6 compared to the Seahawks, 5-7 first half against the spread record. I'm not really buying the Seahawks have turned a corner just because they've won 2 straight games. Plus the Rams are a much better team all around. They're getting key players back like Jalen Ramsey, Darrell Henderson, Odell Beckham Jr. I'm still concerned, obviously, that they haven't really been practicing. They've been in virtual meetings all week. So that could absolutely impact chemistry. So I just want to get in, get out on this game spread for the Rams -3.5.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there with it now up to 7. When it was at 6.5, I didn't love the Rams, but it was certainly a much stronger play at 6.5 if you're a Rams backer than it is now at 7. It's obviously a key number. That half point may not seem like much, but that makes a massive difference in probability for you to win versus push versus lose. So at +7, I would either take the Seahawks side or I would pass. I think the total is something that is easier to attack. And again, it's shooting up. So hopefully you were on this earlier in the week, maybe even as as soon as yesterday, but even at 47, I think over is the play. So again, it's over or pass on that. I would not play the under. The Rams promote play volume and they promote scoring because their offense is so efficient, averaging 28.2 offensive points per game. That removes, you know, the defense and special team scores. That's second in the NFL to only the Buccaneers. So they get pretty much 4 touchdowns per game is the average you're going to get from Sean McVay's offense. That makes other teams throw. And when you throw, there's more clock stoppages, there's more play volume. More play volume equals, and throwing, of course, equals more explosive plays as well. There's more scoring. So I've seen now Russell Wilson kind of shake off the rust of his finger injury. The Seahawks have won 2 games in a row, scoring 30-plus points in each of those games. So I think he's finally back to the Russ of old. And even though the Rams have given him fits, he's still Russell Wilson, still has Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and now maybe an emerging Rashad Penny in the backfield to work with. So I do think even with Ramsey being back on defense and the way Aaron Donald's kind of wrecked havoc on Russell Wilson in his career, I think the Seahawks will score some points in this game. I'm not worried about them contributing to the scoreboard, whether they're playing from ahead or playing from behind. So I think over is the play here. But again, try and get on that as early as possible because I wouldn't be surprised if this keeps steaming up closer to 50 as we get towards kickoff. Now in the prop market, Aaron, I haven't seen much posted as far as the player prop market as early as this morning. Have you found anything or is there anything that stands out as a play you'd make depending on the number?
The only thing that I'm seeing right now is touchdown score props. I mean, like, you can't really go wrong with Odell Beckham at plus money. He's plus 120. Yeah. Cooper Kupp's the highest up there, minus 125. I think if you're expecting points, you can start betting on some of these players. But Odell Beckham at plus 120 probably stands out most to me. But that's all I'm seeing. We're still limited props. It's been something we've been struggling with in the last 48 hours trying to make picks for this game.
Yeah, no, the only player props I saw on Caesars were the kickers. and their props. And that's not really a prop market I'm interested in, but not that you can't make money there and cash tickets with kicker props. I would look for on the Rams side, I would look for Odell Beckham Jr. over his yardage total. As long as it's in the, you know, upper 40s, lower to mid 50s, I think that's something that can be attacked. He obviously is getting far more comfortable in this offense each and every game that goes by. And he will be counted on each and every week that is coming to be a playmaker for this Rams team. And I think the way to attack the Seattle secondary or Seattle defense is through the air. Matt Stafford at home, having Cooper Kupp, Odell, and Van Jefferson. We'll see about Tyler Higbee. That would be certainly a loss. But if Higbee's out, that funnels that that portion of his pie even more toward the Cooper Kupps, the Odell Beckhams, and the Van Jeffersons, the reliable weapons that they have out on the perimeter. So I would definitely look there. Depending on Matt Stafford's yardage prop, I would play that over. If it gets up into the upper 280s, the lower 290s, that's probably a little high. Anything in the lower or the lower 280s, maybe if you get lucky, the upper 270s, that'd be something I'd be comfortable with. And one that may be speculative, but I really think is going to be a soft line to attack is Sony Michel rushing attempts. I think the line is going to be really, really low because Daryl Henderson is back. And when Henderson was healthy, he was the lead dog. But when Henderson went out, Michel, without being crazy explosive, I think made the Rams run game far more imposing and more consistent. He wasn't breaking off 20, 30 yard runs, but he also wasn't getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage. He was making positive plays with each and every run, whether it was 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards. He kept the offense on schedule. And as a Rams fan, I hope Sean McVay noticed that. I think he did. I think the team noticed the way that Michel set them up for more second and medium, second and short, third and short opportunities, which of course are easier to convert for your quarterback. So if Michel's line indicates that the books think he's the backup again to Daryl Henderson, I think he's going to lead the Rams in rushing attempts. I think Daryl Henderson is going to now come back and be the change of pace running back, not the starter. So anything in that 11, 12, maybe 13 and a half is about as high as I'll go. If it's in that range, I would play Michel over. If it gets to 14, 15, I think that's a little bit too high, but I do think you're looking at a 14, 15 carry game at minimum for Michel, unless the Rams get behind really big, really early. I think that's pretty much the only way the Rams stop running the football with the success they've had during this two-game resurgence, having Michel be the lead back and feeding him 20-plus carries in each of those games. So something to look out for as those markets start to get posted, but as of early Tuesday morning, they weren't available. All right, that's two Tuesday night football games to wrap up week 15. NBA slate is kind of sparse. I think we've got four or five games. You have five games on the docket. Anything that you want to touch on in the association, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Trailblazers versus Pelicans game only because these teams are not dealing with COVID. So I'm going Brandon Ingram over 24 and a half points. He's hit this number in three of the last four games, averaging 25 points in the last five games. And the Trailblazers defense ranks 25th in points allowed, 26th in field goal percentage, 30th in three-point percentage. I think Brandon Ingram will be able to hit over this also because the Portland Trailblazers might be without Damian Lillard. He's now in question. The Trailblazers are also 2-11 straight up on the road this season. They're actually on the road. I know they're going to be on the road in this game. They are coming off a win on the road against the Grizzlies, which was great. Dame was awesome in that game. Again, he might be out, but Portland also allows 49% shooting from the field on the road. So just in this game, I wanted to take a player prop for the Pelicans and go with Brandon Ingram over 24 and a half.
Yeah, I like that handicapping there. The Trailblazers have been a team I've loved to attack on the road. I will say, though, if Dame plays, this is a contingent play. If Dame plays, I actually kind of like the Trailblazers plus the 1.5 or on the money line plus 105. But I think they can win this game if Dame is there. If he's not, then that changes the calculus tremendously. I wonder if the Trailblazers have found something here recently. They're coming off two really good wins. They beat Charlotte at home pretty handily. Then they went on the road to a Memphis team that had won, I think, 10 of 11 or 10 of 12 games. And they beat them as an outright dog. I think there were 9-point dogs in that game and beat them. And Dame looked like the Dame of old. I think he's starting to get used to playing without CJ McCollum. Obviously, that McCollum is a piece you want for the Blazers, but I think Dame is finally starting to take over and say, listen, I got to carry this team on my back. So if he's able to play, I trust Dame more than anyone else on that Pelicans team. They're just not that good. They only have 10 wins this season. So I don't like anytime I see them as a favorite in a game, I want to attack that, the underdog. But this is, of course, contingent on Dame playing. If you find out that he's out, You know, do not bet this game. I would just wait and see what happens with Dame. And then once you get that news, make the play. Also should mention the Suns and the Lakers. Lakers are 7-point dogs at home against the Phoenix Suns, maybe trickling down to 6.5. Obviously, there's no Anthony Davis. And the Lakers have struggled. They just got beat by Chicago at the United Center, and that Chicago team wasn't exactly full health. We know the Suns are just about to welcome back Devin Booker. He just came back. So I kind of like the Suns side here. I would either play the Suns or pass. Mm-hmm. The total is the highest on the board of 223.5. I would probably stay away from that. I think it's a little high considering how good the Phoenix Suns defense is, but the Lakers do like to play fast, so that can boost possessions and boost scoring probability. But I would play the under or pass on the 223.5. I do kind of like the Suns side, especially if people are going to start betting on the Lakers thinking that number's too high. Lakers just aren't that good right now, plain and simple. Yeah. And there's no other way to slice it. So there's a look at the NBA. There is a couple of bowl games I will just mention. No real strong plays here, but we do have two football games this afternoon in the collegiate ranks. UTSA is one of the participants against San Diego State in the Frisco Bowl, which I think is actually be a good game. San Diego State ranked inside the top 25. UTSA was the best team against the spread all year long, and they're a 3-point underdog here. So just consider that. They were amazing against the spread this season, and they're catching points against San Diego State, a really good football program. And then in the Potato Bowl, you got Kent State against Wyoming. Wyoming, a 3.5-point favorite against Kent State. So I know in my Bowl Mania picks, I think I have Kent State there. And they may be my dog of the day. They may be my dog of the day on an early edition of Daily Wager, by the way, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m., I should say, Pacific time. So that's just a mere 90 minutes away as of this recording. So make sure you're locked into ESPN2 early today for Aaron, myself, and Joe Fortenbaugh on Daily Wager. That'll do it for our podcast today. A little more than 10 minutes of the bets you need, as promised, from the NFL, from the NBA, and a little college football mixed in there as well. Please do us a favor. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow if you're enjoying the program. It helps us out tremendously, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Daily Wager podcast.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.